So the title for this morning is, What is Truth? Truth is an inside job. Now, I don't know, probably most of us here will have heard the old Coca-Cola song, I'd like to build the world, I'd like to buy the world a Coke, in perfect harmony. So I've got some Coke here, actually. And the tagline at the end of that song is, it's the real thing. So I've got the real thing here. It's full of sugar. Not about. And it's really nice and cold. I thought it'd be a really good idea because we were having this heat wave. So, it's not very warm, is it? So my mouth's a bit dry, you can imagine. So I've got six cans of Coke here. So if anybody would like a can of Coke, do you want to buy a Maxi? It's nice and cool.
Thank you.
So for me, drinking Coke was an absolute luxury, and one of the things, one of my earliest memories was being in Spain when I was about five, having a bottle of Coke with the condensation rolling down the outside, and the waiter would miraculously remove the top. The bottle top, that's the word I'm looking for. Remove the bottle top. And he obviously had the thing in his hand, but at the age of five, I had no idea how it happened. He go, psh. So my dad, the reason we ended up there is because my dad was 42 years on the British Rail, and he was able to get concessionally travel in Europe. That's the only way we were able to afford it. So I was there with my bottle of Coke, and I just thought, this is magic. Nice and warm, straws in there, bottle of Coke, condensation on the outside, drinking my Coke. I just thought this was just at the bee's knees. So we know that Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Sometimes it's really difficult to know what the truth is. It's not an easy thing. We're bombarded by information. And a lot of it, what we get bombarded with now, is not true. I saw a feed on my Facebook page recently, just a few days ago, and it was very convincing. It had a picture of the guy who runs Amazon, and it was saying, new Amazon platform to be released. It's called the Bitcode. And it was a get-rich-quick. And actually, on the picture was, it would lead you to believe this had been an announcement on the BBC, because it was a picture of the news, you know, with a little red bit at the bottom, runs across, you know, Bitcode, you know, whatever his name is, who runs the Amazon. And I'm thinking, and then it goes on and it goes on and goes on, and you read it, and it sounds like it's a reporter. It's given it a go with £200, and within a few weeks, it's up to thousands. But there's a limit. There's a time scale. You've got to get in quick. And as soon as I read that, the alarm bell started to ring. I started to think, okay. So my son actually works for Amazon, and his girlfriend is also works for Amazon. They're both managers for Amazon. So I said, what's all this about? And he said, Dad, it's a scam. They just want to get your money and run away. Well, this is actually nothing new. It's, you know, there's nothing new, is that people say there's nothing new. In 1835, in New York, the Sun newspaper published a series of six episodes of this description of life on the moon. And Life on the Moon by John Herschel, which he was an astrologer of the time, a renowned astrologer, his name was put on it, that this was supposedly reproduced from an Edinburgh scientific journal in the Sun newspaper in 1835 in August in New York. And people absolutely lapped it up. And these are the sort of things that they were describing. The Great Moon Hoax. This is from the Britannica Encyclopedia. Quite a good source, I would think. To a savvy reader, or let's admit it, even to a non-savvy reader, the type of life Herschel had discovered, inverted commas, should probably have been a clue that the story was fake news. What he'd supposedly found was neither a microscopic evidence of long-dead organisms or brine shrimp left behind after lunar experimentation. Rather, the Sun claimed, Herschel had sighted bountiful vegetation, brown quadrupeds resembling mature bison, goat-like creatures with the playful personalities of kittens, long beaked canes and large winged creatures wholly unlike any kind of birds. Rather than looking like birds, the story claimed, the creatures looked like a hybrid between humans and bats. And he'd supposedly developed this amazing telescope that you could see life to that detail on the moon. And surprise, surprise, the actual sales of that newspaper went up. So how do we know what's true? Well, we get information, don't we? We get information. As I was just describing, some of the information is incorrect. Some of the I've always been really interested in aviation, aircraft, stuff like that. That's probably why I ended up wanting to join the Royal Air Force. One of the things that I did when I was a kid was model aeroplanes, and I still do a bit of that now. And I actually designed, built, and drawed my own aircraft, but it didn't fly very well. It didn't go, did not have much lift. And that's probably because bits of information I was given was incorrect. I was given the information that the shape of the wing of an aircraft, you've probably heard this, the shape of the wing of the aircraft meant that the air over the top takes a slightly different time or route than the air under the bottom. But it has to meet up at the trailing edge at the back of the aircraft wing, and that creates lift. And that's what I'd learnt in school. And that is rubbish. That's not how it happens at all. If you Google it, if you're really, really bored one afternoon, Google it. How does lift work on an aircraft? And after about 5 hours, you'll probably come to the conclusion of, nobody knows. There's some things you can experience, though, that you know are definitely real. Like gravity. You can be on a chair, you can jump off a chair. Yes, gravity is real. So how do we know as Christians? I feel that what I've been prompted to say is that with the Holy Spirit living in us, we have an extra capacity to discern what's true. Because within the Bible, it is actually sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth living in us is so important. It talks about also about the armor of God. And the first thing Paul says in Ephesians, the first item on the armor of God is the belt of truth. It's so important. A Scotsman who lived not very far away from here called Henry Scogel. He was a bit of a high flyer. He was at the age of 23. He was a philosopher at the Divinity School, King's College in Aberdeen. And he wrote this in his book called The Life of God in the Soul of Man. I cannot speak about religion without sadness. That among so many who claim to be religious, so few understand what it means. Some consider it to be a primary a matter of intellect and understanding and orthodox opinions. The only account that they can give of their religion is that they are of this or that theological persuasion. or that they have joined one of the many groups or sects into which Christianity is so unhappily divided. Others consider it to be a matter of outward behavior. They are to be found caught up in a constant round of duties and observances. If they live peaceably with their neighbors, are not extreme in their habits, and are regularly at worship publicly and in their homes, and sometimes extend themselves to giving to those in need, then they think they've performed sufficiently. He then goes on to say, and this is out of his book, this is quite a long article I was reading, and then he comes to the conclusion at the end, here we can recognize what true religion is about. They know by experience that true religion is a union of the soul with God. It is a participation in the divine nature. It is the very image of God drawn on the soul. In the apostle's word, it is Christ formed in us. And I think that's a reference to Galatians 4:19. Christ formed in us. Jesus, when he was going from Judea to Galilee, he stopped at Jacob's well. He sat at the well and he met the woman from Samaria. She sat down with him. It was the sixth hour. So, which would suggest, depending on how you look at it, if it was the Jewish clock, it was noon. If it was the Roman clock, it was a different time, like 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. But anyway, it's most people think it was noon, in the hottest part of the day. So as Jesus sitting there next to the woman at the well and asks her for a drink, and she's like, why is he talking to me? This is really weird, because Samaritans and the Jews didn't get on. The Samaritans had, like, it back in the history of the Samaritans, they'd actually intermarried and stuff, and they were no longer a pure breed race sort of thing, so they'd lost their way. So Jews didn't want to talk to them. And so he turned to this woman, and then he said, if only you knew who is speaking to you, I would give you water that would last for eternity. So it's not easy knowing what is true. And as Christians, I certainly do feel that I need a lot of help. So we need help to keep us on course so that we're not deflected onto a popular mindset that may be around us. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. When he was chatting to the disciples before he was crucified, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. Where's it gone? Did I put it down there? Have you stolen some of my notes, Stuart? I've got. Ah. I've even colour-coded it so I can find it. So he said, I will not leave you as orphans. In John 14:15-17, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you to do. I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world cannot take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. So the Holy Spirit, I think sometimes we can think of the Holy Spirit as an amorphous thing, like an unstructured thing, an impersonal thing. But the Holy Spirit is a person. He's one of the three of the Trinity. He's a person. He wants to walk with you. And he also can be grieved. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. And you can resist his will. You can say, no, I don't want to do that. Which is quite something. And in Matthew 3, verse 16, we see this. We see this three amazing characters of God all operating at the same time. The moment, so this is Jesus being baptized in the Jordan by John. It says, the moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the sky opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. So there's the Spirit landing on Jesus, and Jesus is in the water. And then a voice said, this is my Son. Along with the Spirit, a voice, this is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. So there's three different entities, and we all know it's a three-in-one mystery, it is a mystery. But there's three separate entities. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? There's sometimes a little bit of confusion when it happens, especially in a sort of charismatic or spiritually or Pentecostal kind of setting. There is a sense of, you know, one is like baptism being so important. Well, yes, it is, but you need to be baptized before you get the Holy Spirit. I don't think so. Check it out. Have a read. And the other thing is, what I've experienced is the Holy Spirit happens when you believe. The Holy Spirit happens when you believe. So when you believe, the Holy Spirit is within you. And it's a gift. And in Acts 11, Peter's talking to, he's been called up, he's been up to Cornelius. He's had a chat to them, and all sorts of amazing things has happened. And he's describing these amazing things to the Jews and the leaders of the time. They've took him to one side and said, we've heard you've been up to Cornelius with these what are you doing up there? So Peter says, as they began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us from the beginning. Then I remember what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? So we were saying, oh, they've given them that. I don't know what happened, but it's just the same as it happened to us. And they are not Jews. They're just like non-believers. So how can I drink this drink of the Holy Spirit? Because we are leaky. You know, there's a residual embers of God's Spirit within us, and sometimes we need to fan them into flame. So how can we do it? But in the name of... and the name escapes me. Stop in the name of love. Stop in the name of love. I looked at my phone the other day and I had 36 push notifications on my phone, most of which weren't very important. Facebook and a Groupon thing from emails and stuff, all trying to grab your attention. And in the world in which we live, with all sorts of extra time to do things, it's sometimes difficult to just stop. We don't like pauses, do we? We want to do stuff. I'm particularly bad at this. I just love doing stuff, being busy, fixing stuff, getting some sort of feedback from people saying, oh, thanks very much for that. I really do have difficulty just stopping. I'm not a person who can sit on the beach and read a book. Oh, no. And Julie's going, oh, it's lovely and sunny. And yeah, and I'm going, like, where's the shade? I can't read it. You know. Read the book. No, it's, I just struggle. I just struggle being still. I still really, really struggle. But it's so important in your day to stop. And just as an example in the physical world, how important it is to stop is your human heart. The heart that's beating within you right now, which is about the size of your clenched fist. Top half of the heart is separated electrically from the bottom half of your heart. Electrical activity comes in the top, and then before it gets to the bottom to do the real work, it stops. It stops. Not for very long, 0.12 milliseconds, it stops. On an ECG piece of paper, it's three little boxes. Because they have to, that's how they used to tell us, because it has to be simple for people like me. Three little boxes. It stops. And the reason it stops is because the blood at the top of the heart has to get to the bottom before it gets squirted out and does its business. So it has to stop. So it's vital, I think, in this busy life that we lead, we have to stop. We have to get off the bus. We have to say, enough's enough. We have to have a break. Having a rest is so important. And resting in God's presence is massively important. So I've lost another bit here. Right, here we go. The Holy Spirit is a person. He walks with you and stays with you in the good times and the bad. Times the Spirit is a deposit of hope we have for now and eternity. The Spirit is not only for the amazing Christians, it's also for us. It's for everybody. We don't need to struggle and work out our lives to come up to some standard before the Holy dwells in us. No. If we believe in Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and I said sorry for the mess I created, the Holy Spirit will be in you and it will be in me. And when I fail, the Holy Spirit stays in me. We can't shake him off. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I just want to finish off with Paul's, and this is from the message to the Ephesians. Ephesians 3:14-20. In my response is to get down on my knees before the Father. This magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights, live full lives, fullness of God. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh yes, what an adventure.